Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, I welcome Emily Allen. And Emily has a fantastic blog and website called Health by Emily. And I'll give you a little clip from her official bio before I tell you what we talked about on the show. Emily Allen is a former obese girl turned integrative nutrition health coach. She lost 70 pounds and cured her PCOS by cutting out processed food, an experience she documented on her site, healthybyemily.com. She now teaches busy women how to help address their own PCOS issues and infertility struggles, and helps busy moms cut processed foods in order to lead their healthiest life. She teaches cooking classes, does public speaking about healthy living, and has even appeared on local news programs featuring her recipes. She believes that anyone can lead a healthier life no matter what their schedule or budget. And certainly that has been an objection we hear from a lot of folks that are having issues trying to get healthy, lose weight. You know, it either comes up with no time or no money, and we certainly address those not only on this show, but on others. And I know that you're going to enjoy this interview. She definitely talks about PCOS and her struggles there, her infertility challenges that she and her husband experienced. And for those of you that have been through that and or are dealing with that, it's very emotional. It's a huge burden for couples who are trying to conceive and can't. And she talks about, you know, she would go see doctors and how insensitive they were, and what they, you know, the advice that they gave her was simple, just lose weight, when actually, you know, the issues and the challenges that PCOS give to one, an individual, when you're dealing with that, you can't just go and lose weight. When you have PCOS and you understand what it is and how it affects your body and your hormones, you understand it's not that simple. So again, you're going to hear Emily's story, and it's not an overnight success story. And I love folks that are on the show that share they've had their ups, they've had their downs, they've had their peaks and valleys, and then they finally get to that point where they found their fitness. They found what works for them. And again, one of the quotes that I put in my notes is, she said, "I had to find my way." And I think, you know, she was saying that after she shared, she had doctors telling her this, she had, you know, an OBGYN telling her this, she had other people telling her this, what you should do to lose weight, what you should do to conceive, what you should do to do this, this, then this. And she started just finding her own way. And a lot of that had to do with, as you heard at the beginning of this intro, changing the food that they were eating. And again, this goes back to a lot of what we're starting to talk about on the show. Food can be medicine. But we also talk about, you know, you'll hear on this show, this isn't somebody who's going to say, yeah, you'll never have gluten, or you'll never have dairy, or you'll never have a piece of packaged food or wine. There's like, be reasonable, people. And one of the ladies that we interviewed on another show, we'll link up to her as well, had the best quote ever. She's like, don't go for work-life balance, go for work-life harmony. And I just think that word harmony can be applied to everything. Live a little, find harmony in your fitness life, find a way to make it just that, a life. So I know you're going to enjoy this. I could talk about her all day. I really enjoyed our chat, and I hope you do as well. So tune in right now and listen to Emily Allen. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa. And today on the show, we welcome Emily Allen of a blog you're going to want to tune into, I promise you, Health by Emily blog. Emily, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
I'm so excited to chat today because, as I shared when you and I were talking before the show, I was reading some of your notes as to what we could talk about, and you have such an interesting, I mean, just it's a rich background about really a health story, multiple health stories. And so many of the topics I was like, we need to talk about this. So I know that this is going to be a hugely inspirational, but also valuable learning experience for so many people. And so as such,
I'm actually going to be completely opposite of what I normally am and stop yapping and gushing all over you and get right into it. Whenever I have folks on the show for the first time, Emily, I always like to ask them so that our audience can get to know you. Because especially some people in our audience, they think that everyone that is healthy focused or fitness focused, they kind of assume they were born that way. We get that a lot. Like, hey, I can never be that fitness person. I can never eat healthy like you people. I'm like, we're not a group of mutants over here. You know, we actually chose these things. So I always say, love to ask guests when they're first on the show. When was it for you that you became interested in either a fitness lifestyle or eating healthy, or maybe it was both? When was that for you and why?
Well, the fitness aspect has actually kind of always been there to an extent. I've always been fairly active. But after I got married, you know, you get married, you get comfortable, your husband's an amazing cook, and 40 pounds crept onto my body pretty quickly. And then over the next several years, it just kept climbing and climbing until I was about 70 pounds overweight. And I was still exercising-ish. You know, every once in a while I'd do a yoga DVD or I'd, you know, find something I could do at home. And, but really for me, the thing that was huge was the food. And during those years that all the weight was climbing on, what I didn't know was that that weight was coming on because I had a syndrome called PCOS or polycystic ovarian syndrome. And that is a syndrome that also makes it very, very difficult to get pregnant. So when we were wanting to add to our little family, it was not happening. And it took a lot of years before we finally got our miracle. And we went through, of course, the doctors kept telling me, your weight is part of the problem. You need to take it off. So I would try all the different diets out there and they would last for a minute or two and I'd drop 10 pounds and then I'd gain 20 back. And you know, the same yo-yo story everyone mm-hmm. tells.
This is very common. Whether it's, you know, a regular, like a primary practice MD or an OBGYN, women that write into us all the time are saying, my doctor told me I'm just depressed. Take a Xanax. My doctor told me with all of these problems, like gaining 70, 100 pounds and a lot of it very suddenly, the doctors are like, well, you know what? You should eat less and move more. Really? Are you serious? I've never heard that before. Did this doctor offer anything to you as far as let me help you? Or was he just like he or she, were they just like, go lose weight?
It was several of them and they all just said, go lose weight. And it kind of makes sense. My brother-in-law actually just barely finished residency and I was talking to him about the nutrition studies that he had to go to become a doctor. And he took one nutrition class. It was half a semester. It was an elective. So he didn't even have to take it. So I understand partially why doctors are not giving out the nutrition advice, true. But at the same time, that's who we're taught to turn to. Mm-hmm. How crazy is that?
Well, I think that, you know, you do make a very good point. And I've shared when I've talked about my story, and in fact, I just recorded a pretty detailed podcast, just me talking about, you know, what went through, what was my experience with figuring out my hormonal issues. And I was also diagnosed with PCOS. Mm-hmm. So pretty much everything. I always joke that I went through the drive-thru with the hormonal issues and I'm like, I'll just take one of everything and make it a large. Thank you. Let's go. But you know, the thing that is, it's very easy to, like you heard my reaction, you know, I was like, oh. Yeah. And but on the other hand, when you look at how doctors have been trained traditionally, you know, the folks that are in practice right now, they went to school 15, 20, you know, 30, however many years ago, none of this was being taught. And all of this is very new. So there is, I don't know what it's called. I don't want to use the cheesy word revolution that needs to happen in the medical space, but let's be real. There's two things that need to happen. Existing doctors of all practices need to be educated on new things. How we do that, I don't know. I certainly hope that we can, at FitFluential and others, can be a part of influencing change because there are doctors that have decided to study other things and change their practice. But then number two, you've not only got to have, you not only have to have the folks that are already practicing become more educated, but all of us. And that's where I think we have, you know, Emily, you and I and everyone in the FitFluential community, we have the opportunity to help people become comfortable being an advocate for themselves. And pretty much your whole story today is about just that. So I'm going to let you continue, but you make a great point.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you. So yeah, I actually, the food change was the biggest part of my transformation, but it was also initially sort of accidental. Because we had been trying for a baby for 7 years. We tried all the different medications because, of course, that's another thing doctors do is they try to throw pills at you. And then when they don't work, they just say, ah, I guess, you know, too bad for you. Yeah. And we didn't want to spend all the money on, you know, in vitro where the outcome was so uncertain. So anyway, 7 years later, I decided that I didn't have any kids. Why did I have the mom bod, you know? Why was I doing that to myself? And so I started just reading a few books here and there about nutrition. We started making small changes to what we were eating. No more frozen pizza. Let's eat some vegetables sometimes, you know, things like that. And I had lost about 30 pounds when one day I had been acting differently and my husband said, maybe you should take a pregnancy test. And I told him that was ridiculous. And then we had the biggest surprise of our lives. And I had, without knowing it, alleviated my PCOS to the point that my body could actually function the way it was intended to. So we had our beautiful little miracle baby. And of course, I hadn't had like a full mindset transformation yet, anything like that. So I gained all the way back through the pregnancy. I was eating for two. I did stay pretty active. Yoga really helped me a lot during that pregnancy with some symptoms that I was having. And then anyway, when it came time that we wanted another baby, I knew exactly what I needed to do. And we went back to eating the right foods and I was able to drop 20 pounds within 7 months that time and got pregnant again. It was actually when my youngest baby was a year old that I had like my biggest transformation because of course I had gained back the weight again. And I got out of the shower one day and this is probably too many details. People don't want to picture this, but I had a mirror hanging over.
We have TMI on the show all the time. So
you just know, okay, good. But I had a mirror hanging over my closet door. And I walked in and I just started getting dressed and I caught a glimpse in the mirror. And you know, when you're just walking around in your body and you're not looking at it, you just kind of get used to, you have this idea in your mind of what you look like. Mm-hmm. And what I saw in the mirror was absolutely not a match for what I felt I was inside. Mm-hmm. And I have never felt so horrible about myself as a person, not just because, wow, you look obese, because I was, but also how could I let myself get this way? Like you have guilt over all of this, you know, it seems crazy. But from that point on, I drove that very day to the library and I checked out every book that I could find on health and nutrition. And I decided that all of the diets that I had tried before, all the funny shakes, all the stuff that I didn't even really like, you know, counting calories and points and macros and all that stuff that lasted for 2 seconds, that wasn't my way. And I had to find my way and I had to figure out exactly what these foods were doing in my body. And from that point on, we started the process of cutting out all processed foods from our home. And from that, before when I had lost weight in order to get pregnant and, you know, have my miracle babies, I was kind of half invested and the weight came off, but it was temporary. It was difficult. Mm. When we cut processed foods, it's like the weight just fell off, 70 pounds gone.
Wow. What's your example of processed foods? Because there's a lot of people listening and I always want to think of, there's the whole audience that they get our life, like they're into macro. They know when you say macros, what that means. But then there's a whole bunch of people that are like, well, what is processed food? So what would you say that means for somebody who's a complete newbie and probably eating stuff out of a vending machine at their office every day?
That's a really great question because there are so many different answers. The way that I like to look at it and simplify it is how many steps did my food take from where it was in nature to now it's in my hand, it's going in my mouth. So like say for example, an apple, it was picked off of the tree and you can kind of get more in depth and crazy and say, well, there are pesticides and fertilizers and things like that. But let's say it's an organic apple. You pick it, you put it in your mouth. It's still alive. It's still real. There are so few steps from tree to your mouth that is completely unprocessed. Where if you look at, like, let's say Cheetos, for example, where once upon a time it was corn, but it was very chemically treated and all those things when it was corn.
I just caught what you said. Once upon a time it was corn. I have to share this. I think I could be wrong. I'm going to have to ask him. I think my man friend was telling me about, we were comparing like regional cuisines or something, or regional things that, you know, what do people eat in Louisiana? What do people eat in Michigan? And I think it was him that told me about this thing they make with Cheetos, that you open up a bag of Cheetos and they pour chili on it, and they have a name for that. And I'm like, you know what? In a sick way, that's probably like, I'm not a chili person, but it's probably really good. And, you know, but to, I would never even thought that Cheetos were actually originally corn. So keep going. I'm sorry.
Well, and
we'll link up to all these great recipes in the show notes, by the way.
That's right. Oh, well, and if you look at most processed foods, most of them actually did start out as corn.
Corn. Pretty sure we all evolved from corn.
Probably.
Way, someone will take me seriously on that.
Oh, yeah. So Cheetos, to go from corn to what they are currently, when you go and you buy that bag and it stains your fingers a very unnatural color of orange. And by the way, the yellow 5 and 6 that are used to dye Cheetos, that is, those are ingredients that are banned in several other countries because of their very concrete links to cancer. I know everyone says everything leads to cancer, blah, blah, blah. But this is one that they're like, yeah, no, we know. Wow. That one leads to cancer. And it's banned in other countries, but we have it here. So,
like, that, well, those Americans, they'll eat anything.
Pretty much.
You know what? I want you to keep going on this because you're making such great points. But I want to ask you one quick sidebar, and I think maybe we could potentially have you back on the show to talk specifically about PCOS and the infertility issues. But I do want to ask you, and you don't have to go into too much depth on this, but you know, you mentioned that you were trying to get pregnant and you had gained weight. And then I think if I have my notes here correctly, you lost 30 pounds and it was very unexpected. Like you were not, I don't think at that time you were actively saying, you know, every week you were checking to see if you were pregnant, but you'd lost the weight and you were just kind of living life. And I'm curious if you think that I seem to hear from a lot of couples when they try, and they're so stressed out trying to get pregnant and they're doing some, for some of them, in vitro and all of these different medications and things, they can't make it happen. And then when they just relax and forget about it, it's like they stopped stressing. And you had mentioned your body relaxed into it. Do you feel a big part of it, in addition to food and nutrition, that part of you were stressing less and that potentially made an impact on your fertility and your health? What do you think about that? Oh, I ask because stress is such a topic we're going to be talking about.
Oh, yeah. Stress definitely plays a lot of a huge part into hormones and weight loss and everything. I actually don't believe that's what it was. Okay. And simply because when we, and that's an excellent question. I've heard that same thing several times. We tried pretty hard with doctors and fertility treatments and things like that for about 3 years. Hmm. At the point that I lost the weight and was finally able to get pregnant, I had completely written off the idea of, I decided I will never get pregnant.
Wow.
And that was just where we were. We were looking at adoption for the future, but that was a while away. So it was about a 4-year time span that I was relaxed about the whole situation, I guess you could say. And that's why I don't believe in our case, that's what it was. I do, yes, stress has a big part to play in fertility. But for me, food was the key, 100%.
That's a lot of what, and it can, there's so many folks we're having on the show this year who have, mm-hmm. without me prompting them, because this is not my, I certainly have witnessed it in my own life, but food is medicine, you know, in so many ways. Yeah. And, you know, back to where, let's bring it back to the whole processed food conversation and how to improve, because I do know, and I had an interesting interview yesterday with a gal about eating disorders, you know, and mm-hmm. it's very easy when one becomes healthy, so I'm just going to say the universal you, right? When you become healthier and you eat healthier, it can be easy to get into a dangerous area where you label mm-hmm. foods. We're not encouraging that. Mm-hmm. And I right. love how you said, because I wrote down your quote, you said, I had to find my way. Like you had to find what mm-hmm. your fitness was, what your nutrition was, what you defined as processed. There's some people that are like the food Nazi police, where just what you said, if you ate an apple that wasn't organic, they go crazy for you. There's yeah. different ways yeah. people define paleo. There's different ways people have views on dairy. You've got to decide for yourself, because there's just as much evidence out there to say, let's use dairy, that dairy is yeah. horrible for you and nobody should have it. And there's just as much supporting evidence that can be great. And there are people thriving both with it and without. So it really is different strokes for different folks. There are some universal truths, like you said, about yellow 5 and 6 that everybody mm-hmm. should know. But does it mean that if you practice a great lifestyle and on your birthday you have some Cheetos, you're going to die? Probably not. And most people will have some bad crap. Mm-hmm. Even the most gluten-free people, Jeremy Scott is one of our folks that has been on the show a million times, and he and his wife went to Italy, and I'm like, did you have pasta? Did you have carbs? He's like, Kelly, I had a lot of stomach aches, but when I'm in Italy, I'm having pasta, I'm having carbs, I'm having cheese, and it was yeah. awesome.
Fitfluential Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP Fitfluential membership. Our Fitfluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our Fitfluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year, I'm going to live my best life. And then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now.
We talked about process, how you defined it and what you started cutting out, because that's pretty significant yeah. that you had such a hard time losing weight before, and then you cut processed foods and the weight was falling off, in your words.
Yeah. And I think a large part of it was in cutting processed foods. I can talk. It's okay.
I've had an influence on you.
I guess so. But when I was doing this, the thing is, when you're doing it as a family, it's not just you that's affected. So here I am all gung-ho. Yay, we're going to cut processed foods, all natural, everything. Hooray. And my husband was over there saying, wait a minute, I still want to eat yummy food. I don't really care about all this other stuff. I want to eat food that actually tastes good. And then, you know, of course, kids are kind of naturally known to be picky. And I had two little ones who they didn't want to be eating crazy foods. So when you make a change like this, you have to make it doable. You can't just go gung-ho and clear out the pantry and replace it with a bunch of foods you have no idea what to do with and that no one in your family even likes. So we kind of started with baby steps, where instead of buying boxed cereal, which if I could take the most processed thing from the grocery store, I would put caution tape on the entire cereal aisle. Don't even walk down here. But we started making homemade granola.
I think granola is one of the best things on the planet. Mm. And then you said homemade granola. So I'm like, yeah. Oh my God.
When you make it homemade, the smell of the cinnamon and the honey and everything, it just, your house smells like heaven when you make homemade granola.
Do you have a recipe for this on your blog, I'm guessing?
I do, yes.
Okay, yeah. We'll be linking up to the blog in the post, everybody. Because I don't know how to make homemade granola, but I love it.
Oh, it's so easy. But yeah, so that was one of the very first steps that we took, was let's replace cereal with this. And then another really easy thing that we did is we started ordering those, the CSA baskets. Have you heard of those?
The
community garden. There are ways that you can like partner with a local farmer, garden, something like that. It's called a CSA. You can Google it. CSA wherever you are.
Okay. Like CSA Austin is what I would look up?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And you'll get in the results different opportunities that you can spend. We were spending, I think, $25 a week. And every Saturday, we'd go to the pickup location for this little farm. And we would pick up a box of produce. And we had no idea what we were going to get. Mm-hmm. And we tried a whole lot of new stuff this way because I was determined not to waste any money or throw anything away. But it dramatically increased the amount of produce that we were eating.
Hmm.
And really, how can you tell something is unprocessed? If it is produce and it has no label, that's pretty easy to tell.
And again, I don't want to suggest that I don't eat some processed foods because I do. I have a great fondness for Oreos and I'm pretty certain there's nothing even food related in them, but I just freaking love them.
Yes.
The longer something can sit in your pantry, I try to get this across to my mom and dad because their pantry, when I go home, and I inherited this because people that know me are listening to this episode going, Kelly, who are you to talk? My mom stocks up for like the apocalypse. There's enough food in her house and in their two refrigerators. And it's just her and my dad. And I'm like, you could not go shopping for about a month and still have food and you could feed the whole neighborhood. But I, you know, it's that generation where they stock up and you use foods over and over, but they have crackers and chips and canned soup. And, you know, as I've started showing them some of the stuff and I'm like, if you think about a canned product that you can open up and it literally can sit in your cabinets. And cereal would be the same way, right? For like years.
Yeah.
Doesn't that make you a little uncomfortable? It's a little creepy to think about it, you know?
Yeah.
What's in there that's making it, the fact that I order zucchini and in 3 days, because it's sitting and it's in my refrigerator, it's starting to go bad, or avocado, but something can sit in my pantry for years is a little terrorizing to my mind.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. What is so bad about it that even bacteria doesn't want to taste this?
That's a good point.
You know? And yet we're putting it in our bodies every day.
You know, and you made a good point because you talked about you knew you wanted to make these changes and you maybe were more sold on the idea. And we get this question a lot. People that are asking, okay, great. We hear this a lot from women. I'm the mom. I want to lose body. I want to get my body after baby. Sometimes they're just starting for how they want to look, which is fine to start with, right? They'll realize maybe the health benefits later, but they're thinking, I have to cook for myself one way and I have to cook for my kids and my husband the other way. And so for you, it was, you know, first you were finding food that was yummy and you went in baby steps, but did you start in the beginning that you were making yourself one meal and making something else for everybody else? Or was everybody else kind of getting into the baby steps that you were taking and they were okay with it?
A little bit of both, actually. And it's not like I was making two meals because I've always said that I am not a short order chef. You are going to eat. I actually was given a little plaque by my brother-in-law that says, today's menu, eat it or starve.
That's awesome.
Counter. But I you want to go easy on these people. So what I did mostly at first was not so much two meals, but if you make the same meal you're going to make for everybody else, like let's say you make a lasagna, just like everybody makes a lasagna, and then you have a giant salad on the side. I'm in control of what I put on my own plate, and I can make my plate 3/4 salad with a tiny bit of lasagna, and that's way better than what I would have done before, where half my plate would have been lasagna and maybe a few token lettuce leaves, you know?
You make a really good point and a good example there, too, because so many people that are listening, I think that they would hear you say something like lasagna and they'll go, she's going to say, make lasagna for the kids and the husband. And she'll sit there and have grilled chicken and broccoli on the side. And I'm trying to imagine that woman, that imaginary woman, watching everybody else and smelling the lasagna that she's made. And she's looking at her chicken breast. And all I can say is she's waiting for the kids to be put in bed and the husband, because she's going to open up the wine and take out the ho-hos from a hidden place and eat them while they're upstairs. Because that is no way to live, right?
Yeah. Well, you have to eat. There's actually one book that was really influential to me was French Women Don't Get Fat. Have you read that one?
Yes, I have. That's a great one.
Fantastic. But that part where she talks about we have two sides of ourselves. We have the side that wants to be skinny and healthy and very fit and perfect. And then we have the side that wants to eat to satisfaction and enjoy. And you feel like they're at war.
Yeah.
When really, if you make those two make friends, if you make your meals satisfying, even though they're healthy, but you can eat to satisfaction, all of a sudden those two people are friends.
You know, it took me a while to, you know, I was getting into a habit of labeling all foods. You know, I'd cut out processed foods. And let me first give an example of what, when I was like you, with your, like your, the first phase of Emily, right? You were losing weight and you were using processed foods. And I was in a phase of my life when I first started losing weight. It was when I first became aware of calories. And I had Snackwell's cookies. I had a ton of diet soda, lean cuisines, healthy choice pizza. I got to tell you, back then, those healthy choice French bread pizzas were the legit, at that time, based on my taste buds. And I lived on skinny cow. If you opened up my refrigerator, it was fat-free butter spray. It was Snackwell's cookies. It was skinny cow. Everything was fat-free, low-fat. I was trying to have 1,200 calories a day. Mm-hmm. And there were times where, this is embarrassing, but there's so much about me that's embarrassing. My mindset was so wrong about what I was doing to fuel my body. I just wanted to eat what tasted good. And so much of that food wasn't even real food that there were times that I would have a skinny cow and that would be the first thing I'd have. And then I'm like, I want another. And I would count out how many skinny cows I could have for 1,200 calories. And I'm not lying. That's all I ate in one day. Because how horrible is that? But I will say back to what you said a few seconds ago, when you, believe it or not, folks, when you start changing and progressing into eating higher quality foods, you can eat lasagna. It's better. I'd say it's better to have a small portion of real lasagna and a bunch of salad on the side, you know, a bunch of vegetables, make sure you have your water, balance that with the rest of the day, than to go out and buy like a Lean Cuisine. And I'm not ripping on that brand. I'm just using it as an example. A Weight Watchers or a Lean Cuisine, you know, lasagna that's made with nothing and you taste it and you're like, this is not like lasagna. You can have real food. And the more that you eat real foods, you'll actually be full and satisfied and you won't have those skinny cow by the refrigerator cravings that Kelly did.
Absolutely. 100%.
It's an amazing transformation that can happen. I feel like we've just scratched the surface and I have highlighted so many things I want to have you back on the show and to highlight, to come back and talk about. I think we should definitely have you back on the show for women that are dealing with PCOS and infertility, because I think they'd love to hear your story there and how, you know, you conquered that, as well as, you know, again, let's talk more about weight loss through just eating higher quality real foods. And for everybody, I'm going to toss this over, hand this back to you, Emily, and have you tell people where they can find you, because I'm looking at her Instagram right now. And I'm going to tell you, if you're listening to this show and you're starting to get hungry and you're skeptical and you're like, nothing healthy is going to be good for my kids or my husband or me, go look at her Instagram. Okay. Go to her blog and then write me back. If you think all of that food doesn't tempt your tummy, I will pay you $25 because I guarantee you won't. I probably should make that 50, but I guarantee you somebody will challenge me on that and they'll have 20 of their friends do it. But yeah, Emily, tell people where they can find you online because they need to find you.
Oh, you're so sweet. So my website is healthbyemily.com. You can find me there. And then I like to play most on Instagram. So Health by Emily A on Instagram. That's where I like to hang out. And then I also have a Facebook page, Health by Emily A. Pinterest is always fun. So you can come play with me there. Yeah.
We'll make sure, of course, like we do, that we link up to everything in the show notes. And again, we will definitely have you back on the show. Thank you so much, Emily. It's been such a pleasure. And I will follow up with you afterwards so that we can coordinate, you know, these other episodes. For everybody listening too, you know, I mentioned I plan to coordinate with Emily coming back on the show to talk about her PCOS journey and hopefully continue this food conversation. If you have any specific questions that you would like us to discuss when I record with Emily again, feel free to email us podcast@fitfluential.com. And of course, you can use that same email if you would like to volunteer for being on the show, being interviewed on the show. If you know somebody you'd recommend that we interview on the show, we always welcome those applications. For 2018, we are getting booked almost full to December. So if you want applications, get those in as soon as possible. Thank you again, Emily, so much for being on the show. We look forward to having you back. For everybody tuning in, I hope this show was instrumental in helping you open your eyes on several issues, becoming your own health advocate, starting to look at food differently. Potentially, if you have infertility issues, hopefully this was inspirational to you. But again, that's our goal here, to help you find your fitness and to become your own health advocate to change your life. So I hope you have a great rest of the week. We will see you here on FitFluential Radio next time.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of FitFluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit FitFluentialRadio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of FitFluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.